two, and a hi, everybody.
Hi, hello, everybody.
And welcome
to Ghoul Society.
That's my big sister, Jamie.
And that's my little sister, Sarah. We are grateful to be recording on the unceded stolen territories of the Songhees and Esquimalt First Nations, and the Lekwungen and Wasunich peoples whose historical relations with the land continue to this day. As uninvited guests, we are committed to disrupting racism and colonial violence within ourselves, our families, and our communities. By listening to this podcast, you have officially been inducted into the Ghoul Society.
And another one.
And another one bites the dust.
Bam, 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 bam. Oh, guys, you know what I remembered?
What?
We missed our 1 year anniversary, but apparently our listeners didn't.
Aw.
Because
they knew.
Okay, here's the thing. On September 1st, we had 41 listens.
Amazing.
And that's our 1 year anniversary. Yeah. Oh,
September 1st.
Look it. I'm showing Jamie the analytics.
That's so amazing.
I know.
That is so lovely.
Yeah, on our 1 year, everybody listened to our podcast.
Thanks, everybody.
They just knew?
Or did they get shown? Did the algorithm be like, oh, it's been a year and they're still releasing?
I don't think it
did.
Does
we release an episode on the 1st? No, it would have been the 31st.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Damn. Well, thanks, everybody.
Yeah.
You're amazing.
Yeah, that was so nice of everybody.
We really appreciate you listening, checking in, you know, all that kind of stuff. Also, the 1st was a holiday. People were traveling, maybe. Yeah. They're, like, listening as they're, like, driving.
Yeah,
I don't know.
That's my assumption.
No idea.
But yeah, so that was kind of nice. And
love it. We're going to celebrate today, though.
Yeah, we're going to go out after we do this recording. We're going to go out, have like kind of lunch, dinner situation.
Yep. Yep.
And
it's
going
to be great.
I'm probably going to go home and play video games all night.
I'm going to go home and knit.
Hell
what
yeah.
What game are you playing? Oh, Helldiver? Skydiver?
Hell diving.
Helldivers. Yeah, I just imagine like you just dive out of a plane the whole game.
Do you want me to show you a little clip?
Yeah.
Okay. You just shoot aliens.
Oh.
But it's super fun.
So it's showing me right now. It's like first person shooter.
Yeah. You do fly out of a spaceship.
Okay, there is space. The Earth is curved in it, just so everyone knows. The Earth isn't flat.
Yeah.
You jump around.
You have different,
everything's
like,
on fire. The world is ending.
No. You have, like, different guns and stuff. And you can, like, there's, like, these things called stratagems, and that's when you, like, call different explosives down. So you can have like a napalm bomb come down or a 500 kg bomb come down.
So you're telling me that you're playing this game while there's actual wars happening around the world?
Okay. Well.
Got her.
Damn.
Damn.
Just trying to fucking.
Shit. I know what Montana's going to say.
You always have to say something about wokeness when I'm going to say anything at all.
Sorry, it's just how my brain
works.
There
is a lot of sad stuff going on, so I'm sorry. I just want to play my game.
Yeah, you can play your game. Fuck yeah. Yeah. That's great. We've been playing Stardew Valley.
Yeah, well, what else is new?
We restarted.
Oh,
and we downloaded a mod, and we're playing the expanded mod, and we're playing on Grandpa's Farm. And it's freaking awesome, and there's four of us playing.
Nice.
You guys
did it.
It's so, so fun. We played last night.
Do you all
and then
come,
I crashed out and went
do you
to sleep.
Do you just play online with each other or do you come?
We do both. Like sometimes we play online. Sometimes we're in person.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
When you're online, do you have like a Discord chat going?
Yeah.
That's how we play Helldivers.
Nice. Oh, you are playing with other people too.
We play with Caden.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Hi, Caden.
Hi, Caden. Hi, Emma. Emma always listens to our podcast.
Hi, Emma. Thank you for listening.
Hell yeah.
Love that. Okay, let's go, boys.
Okay.
Why do I have my computer open?
I don't know.
Tell me a story.
Okay.
I'm a baby. I'm ready for bed.
I don't think you're going to want to go to bed.
I'm scared.
No, it's more historical, kind of like yours. Ooh. Was.
Okay.
Nestled on Nicholas Street in Ottawa, Ontario, sits the Ottawa Jail Hostel, located on the traditional territories of the Mohawk, Anishinaabeweke, and the Algonquin Nations. Ottawa's name comes from the Algonquin word Attaway, which roughly translates to trade. For thousands of years, the traditional peoples in this area of land hunted, fished.
Wait, actually so true though. Wait. Wait a second.
Hunted, fished,
and harvested.
I guess it's the TED.
Yeah.
And lived.
I like fished and livid. Well, it's a different kind of livid, I guess. Holy shit. Yeah.
Using the now Ottawa and Rideau rivers as transportation and a way of life. European explorers and settlers first ventured to this area in the early 1600s. The French came over here. Though a permanent European, quote-unquote, settlement did not occur until 1800. Of course, there's a lot of history in this area of Turtle Island, and now Canada, especially as the country's federal government and prime minister work out of Ottawa. But today we're here for another story. And it's that of the old Carleton County Jail, also known as the Nicholas Street Jail or Ottawa Jail. And I call it the Ottawa Jail throughout the story because why does it have three fucking names?
I feel like I've heard Carleton County Jail before.
Okay. Yeah. This jail was the main jail of Ottawa for about 110 years. Oof. It was designed by architect Henry Horsey.
Stop.
Yeah, I'm not kidding.
Holy shit. What's his name? That's amazing.
And it was built
Henry Horsey. Hey, Henry Horsey, what you doing today? I'm just building the jail. Designing the jail.
And it was built in 1862 next door to the courthouse. The jail cost $60,000 to build.
Okay, let me guess. That was 1862. Mm-hmm. $60,000, that's a lot of money.
I know.
I'm going to say $300
million. $2.3 million.
Oh, that's not that much money at all.
I know. It's not that big, though. Well, kind of. We'll get into it.
Okay.
Henry Horsey built the jail in the Georgian style, with an emphasis on proportion, balance, symmetry, and minimal embellishments. So it's pretty fucking plain ass.
I'm so glad that they balanced the jail.
Georgian architecture is named after King George the First through King George the Third, actually.
Oh, wait.
During that reign of time.
Oh, so I see.
Never mind. Commonly associated with buildings built between 1714 and 1830 as George's 1-3 reigned.
Okay.
Though this style was also revived in the late 19th century in the US and the early 20th century in Great Britain. So people still like it, I guess.
Cool.
I'll note here that on Ottawa's website, it says that the architecture is Victorian, but it's not. It's Georgian because the windows are symmetrical and it's plain AF.
Right.
Whereas Victorian architecture is bolder and often more gothic.
Yeah, yeah, I was going to say. Mm-hmm. I'm picturing like a cement square with very simple rectangular windows. Sarah's pulling up a photo. No,
that's literally what it looks like.
Okay.
This is what it looks like.
Okay, it's actually kind of a beautiful building.
Yeah, but it's very plain.
Kind of the Victorian-esque, but like no.
Just at the top,
it's
maybe.
It's very plain, yeah, at the top. What does that building remind me of? Like Monsters, Inc. or something? Dracula? Wait,
I don't
not
know.
Dracula. What's that cartoon? What's the Dracula cartoon? For kids.
Hotel Transylvania?
Yes.
Oh.
That's what that reminds me of.
I don't know. This is what it looks like. Whoa. In color.
Whoa. It's giving Berghain.
Great. Okay. So the jail is made up of 9 floors. So it's tall. Sure. Three floors contained cells for prisoners, and the rest were offices and home to the former living area for the warden and his family.
Of course.
The jail also has a courtyard in the back where prisoners could spend some time outside. It has underground tunnels and a death row area as well.
It's so weird to me that they were like, let's make the warden's family live here too.
I know. I don't...
Makes so much sense. These kids are going to be totally fine when they grow up.
Yeah, I don't get it. Like, I don't know.
We're going to teach them the rights of America.
Yeah. Reform. Whatever. Life sucks. Everyone's dying. The world is going to fucking shit.
Yeah, and also free Palestine.
Yeah. At its height, this prison could hold up to 150 people. So it's a lot of people.
Okay.
It had 60 small cells measuring approximately 3.5 by 9.5 feet. 30 larger cells, which measured to 6.5 by 10 feet. And 6 solitary confinement cells. Wait, so
the 3.5 by what?
9.5.
Okay. I see.
And then solitary confinement. So probably like, I don't know, 3 by 6.
3.5 feet is like this width of this bed.
Yeah.
Ew.
Yeah.
That's fucked up.
Yeah.
Ew, I hate prison so much.
Yeah. The Ottawa jail was also home to public hangings throughout its century of operation. The most of these is that of Patrick Waylin, which I believe I touched on in a previous episode. Mm. He assassinated Canadian nationalist Thomas McGee, first criticism of Irish extremists.
Whoa.
During this time, as I've brought up before, there was considerable animosity between Canadians and Irish settlers and the U.S. as Britain had a stronghold over Ireland, and they were like, you listen to us, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It was a rough time in this area of Canada as armed groups of Irish sympathizers launched a series of raids into Ontario from the U.S. in an attempt to hold Canada hostage so that Britain would give Ireland their independence.
Oh, okay. I remember you talking about that. Yes, yeah. Yes.
In short,
smart.
Patrick Waylin shot McGee for being outspoken against the Irish population and was eventually hanged in public.
Wait, so was McGee pro-Irish or anti-Irish?
Anti.
Okay.
Yeah.
I see.
This was the last public hanging in Canada. And it garnered 5,000 attendants.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
What year?
Hold on.
What about Mr. Begbie?
Why don't I have the year?
The hanging judge.
I don't have the year written down.
Okay, but like late 1800s?
She's jujuling it.
1869.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking in my head, but...
Yeah, that was the last public hanging in Canada.
Oh, public, like
yes.
People are like watching.
Yeah, and 5,000 people watched this guy die. Holy
fuck.
Yeah, and it wasn't a very swift one. I'm pretty sure he, like, struggled.
Oh, God. Oh, that's so fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Ugh. While this was the last public hanging, the jail's last execution took place on March 27th, 1946. And it was a man named Eugene Larmont. Hmm. So that's probably not how you say it, because I'm pretty sure he was French, but sorry.
Eugene Larmont.
Yeah. He was hanged after he shot a police detective. He was known to police and the prison system throughout his life. He actually grew up in a very not good home, spent a lot of time in and out of juvie, prison.
That's so sad.
And he even spent some time in Kingston Pen.
Whoa.
And so he got there because Eugene and two of his friends, Henderson and D'Amore, staged a robbery of the Canadian War Museum on October 22nd, 1925.
Oh my God. I'm with it.
They stole 3 submachine guns from World War II and 2 automatic pistols from World War I.
Like to sell or to use?
I don't know. They just like stole them and like stored them at like
interesting
at Eugene's house. That's really
sad though. Like he shot a detective and then he gets hanged.
Yeah, so this is the story. The following night, three men were reported acting suspicious outside of an apartment building. And not surprisingly, it was Eugene and his two friends. And so the police were dispatched. And when spotted, D'Amore and Henderson split up while police actually caught up with Eugene. And they asked to speak with him because they were like, why are you just hanging outside this apartment building? It's weird. And he was like, what do you want? And then he pulled a gun from his jacket and shot the officer.
Okay.
So that's how that happened, reportedly.
Whoa. Interesting.
Yeah.
I wonder what actually happened. Maybe it was just that.
I don't know.
Maybe not.
So he shoots this officer and starts running down the street, obviously. And then more officers are dispatched. There, he's in a shootout with them. And eventually Eugene runs out of ammo and was chased into the path of another beat officer.
Mm.
And his friends D'Amore and Henderson were caught at a later time as well. So the trio were initially charged with attempted murder, but when the officer died in the hospital, they were charged with murder.
Mm.
Apparently, the trio story doesn't end there because while in jail, they tried to break out and reportedly beat up a prison guard.
Whoa.
While they were trying to escape.
Damn.
A trial ensued, and while Eugene was found guilty of murder, his friends D'Amore and Henderson were found guilty of assault on the prison guard only, which is the only crime they committed. So,
right.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Eugene was sentenced to hang. D'Amore received a 27-year sentence to be served in Kingston Pen.
Holy shit.
And Henderson received a 29-year sentence. I think that they were all known to police and previous criminals.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Oof.
And I think they, like, really fucked up this prison guard.
Mm.
Like, he almost died.
Whoa.
Yeah, like, over the top. Like, don't need to do that.
Yeah.
So, that's, like, the most notable people of this jail.
Okay.
And the Ottawa jail was officially closed in 1972, as with every other jail in operation between the 1800s and 1900s, the conditions were very inhumane.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, the cells were crammed. It was often very cold, and people held here were likely treated as animals. Also, they held men, women, and children.
Oh.
So everybody.
Also, I just imagined it like, I imagined the cold, but I also imagined it being like wet and like...
Yeah.
Gross.
Yeah.
And rats running everywhere.
Yeah, me too.
Ugh.
Because of the treatment of its prisoners, modern day excavations of the property have actually revealed many unmarked graves on the property.
That's so sad.
Yeah, so that's really sad. And so now that we kind of have a history of this jail, while it closed in 1972, a company called Hosteling International purchased the building.
Oh.
And they converted it into a hostel.
Oh, fuck. I get it now.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Is that PC?
I don't know, because it's still in operation. As of 2023, the hostel is run by a company called Hostels. St. Lo.
Wild.
If you're thinking, well, where are the rooms? The rooms are the cells, of course. You get to stay in a haunted prison.
Oh, okay. It's kind of fucked, though.
I know.
It's kind of not okay.
I know.
It's kind of weird.
In each room, you'll find your bed, your linens, your extra pillows, and an info board that outlines the last prisoner who lived in that cell.
Wow.
Including their name, their crime, and their sentence.
I'm actually speechless. I don't even know what to really say.
Yeah.
Like, it's probably not okay. I mean, it's cool that they're like...
I don't know. They've been running since 1972.
Of course. So it's very 70s.
People like it.
It's cool that they're keeping, like, the stories of the people who were there. I think that's great. Mm-hmm. It's very interesting that it's people... Like, I think... Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyways, crazy. Okay. And there's ghosts?
Yeah, so the hostel offers tours of the jail, and they used to have a haunted tour, but I don't think they have that one anymore. But someone tell me if I'm wrong, please. So now that we have the whole history of the Ottawa jail, let's recount some of its lingering spirits.
Yay.
Of course, in first place, we have the spirit of Patrick Whelan, and he's often seen at the end of guest beds or can be seen in his death row cell, which has been restored to its original condition and is part of the tour.
Whoa.
I'm not sure if you can rent this area of the hostel, and for some reason that feels right to me. Like, if you're going to stay in a jail, I would hope you're not staying on death row. You know what I mean? I'm like, that's a little over the top.
Yes.
But, I don't know. Whatever floats your boat, I guess. So, while people are staying here, they often hear unexplainable footsteps, water running, and disembodied voices. And I do have a couple stories that I found on Reddit. Reddit user Twice Upon a December recounted a ghostly encounter while they stayed in the hostel with a few of their friends. So they all decided to go explore the building. Once they got there, they heard running water near the bathrooms while they were all empty, and one of their friends felt as though they were being followed so much that actually they decided to go back to their room for the night. And they were like, scary. I'm not going to walk around here anymore. Oof. While they were sleeping, the writer of the post describes how they jolted awake for no reason.
Oh God.
But they didn't feel scared. They were just like, I'm awake now, you know?
Been there.
And when they looked across the room, they could see a blurry and almost shimmery but defined shape of a person standing at the end of one of their friends' beds.
Oh.
They write that they didn't feel scared or anxious, but they also just couldn't take their eyes off of this figure in the room. And after a few minutes of just staring, they just laid
minutes.
Yeah, they just laid back down and went to sleep.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
They were like, well,
that's it.
That's just, guess it's just gonna be looking at them.
Yeah. And they found out once they got back home that the figure of Patrick Whelan is often seen in people's rooms. So that's probably who they saw.
Yeah.
And to piggyback on this account, Reddit user NoDog4419 said that
these are good Reddit names.
Said that one of their friends had a weird encounter while staying in the hostel. So while this person was sleeping, they were woken in the middle of the night by a woman whispering, hide.
Yeah. That just chilled me out because I always get whispers. I know.
Ew.
I know.
Of course, they sat right up.
I didn't tell you about my recent sleep paralysis. Anyways.
And no one was there. The post writer noted that women, as I said earlier, were prisoners alongside men in the jail. And if they had children, they were often jailed with them.
Interesting.
Apparently, rumor says, but this is probably true, when corrupt guards came to quote-unquote check on the women or, you know, hurt them, assault them, they would often tell their children to hide under the bed. So this individual could have been experiencing the residual spirit of a jailed woman trying to protect them.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
That's really fucked up.
Yeah. I found another Reddit post from user Deleted, who used to work at the hostel. They shared some stories that were reported to staff by guests, such as seeing ghost children run down the halls, waking up to a man reading a Bible at the end of their bed, or walking around the building, which is likely Patrick Whelan. They also noted that the cell doors would lock on their own and lock people inside of their rooms. And it happened so much that the hostel took the original cell locks off of the doors.
Whoa.
But even then, they would lock. And guests would still get stuck in their rooms.
I mean, I was kind of imagining that they changed the cell doors into, like, not cell doors. Because that it sounds like a safety hazard.
I mean, I think it depends on where you're staying.
Okay, but imagine this. A fire breaks out and your ghost has locked you in your cell. You're fucked.
I know.
How are they getting around that? Insurance-wise, I'm just kind of confused.
Well, some of the rooms have doors, but some of them are jail cell doors.
Right. Wow.
So, you know, like, look at this.
Yep, that's a jail cell.
Yeah.
That's just and a so jail cell. And so
sometimes they still lock from the outside.
Oh my God.
Anyway, they've also reported how staff and guests also felt would often feel like they were being watched, or that they would see something out of the corner of their eye a lot, or would hear disembodied voices and whistling while in the death row area of the building.
Ooh, spooky.
And the writer also shared that one time in the middle of the night when the hostel was empty, every single kitchen knife was missing.
Oh.
And they were promptly returned to their place at 5 a.m.
Whoa, weird.
Mm-hmm.
Weird.
Right?
Okay.
Honestly, my favorite part about their post is that they noted that they would work the graveyard shift and they would have to walk around the building alone in the dark with a flashlight. And they said it felt like they were in a Scooby-Doo episode. And if you know me, that's my dream.
Really? You want to walk around a prison at night with a flashlight all alone, away from home in the middle of the night, and you're even as scared of the dark?
No. Our last Reddit story is brought to us by user Katsuki Tenshi, who visited the jail when they were in elementary school, around 9 or 10 years old. They recount how they were often bullied growing up and ended up alone on a lot of school projects or group activities.
No.
All of this to say that while on a field trip to the prison, they had stopped in front of the cells with their back to the rest of the class. And they were listening to the guy tell stories of the prisoners held in the cells when they were pushed to the ground by a bully. And they got the wind knocked out of them.
No.
And so they were struggling to regain their composure when they felt someone breathing beside them inside the cell. Oh, because they got pushed into the cell.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and they froze.
Kids are fucked.
Yeah. They froze.
Terrible. Yeah, I bet.
And being a child, they were terrified and felt the breathing get closer and closer to them as the air got colder.
Oh my God. It's so scary.
Yeah. Eventually, they were able to get to their feet and made an effort to then stick with the group and not be on their own. They thought that they had imagined it and they were like, don't really know what that was, but it's probably fine. But then they felt a chill on their back of the neck, their neck, as if someone was breathing on it.
Ugh.
Creepy. And then they left, but with that they screamed really, and they were made fun of.
But no.
They said they never felt that ever again. But for weeks after visiting the jail, they felt like they were being watched.
Oh, creepy! Yeah. Creepy.
Yeah.
Super creepy.
So
super freaky.
Super freaky. The Ottawa Jail Hostel was once home to murderers, abusers, robbers, and many other people who committed a range of crimes, from the petty to the most outrageous in our society. Many of these people may continue to live in the cramped cells where they were contained in, but now they're joined by the living, who stay there to enjoy the history of the city for a good price.
And that's
the story of the Ottawa Jail Hostel.
Wow, thank you for bringing that to me. Yeah. Yeah, I'm still undecided on how I feel about that.
Yeah, like, that's the room. That's 3.5 by 9.5. Again?
Okay, it's literally, you go into the room.
It's just a long rectangle.
There's a coat rack on the right, and a single bed fills the entire room.
And there are some other bigger rooms, like there were larger cells, and so those are shared bunk rooms. But
it looks like it's done really nicely.
Yeah, it's very really nice, quite
beautiful. But I still am kind of like, I don't know.
I know.
It's a little bit weird.
Yeah,
a little weird. But you know, I mean, it's a hostel. It's not like housing, but there is always shortages for people to stay, for people to live. If people can stay there cheaply, I guess that's cool.
Yeah, they do have like monthly rates, and
it would have been cool though if it was like a public, like reform type space where like people could live for free or something.
Yeah,
and they like actually are using it for like some kind of like restorative practices.
Yeah,
but okay, cool.
Yeah. But yeah, so if you're ever in Ottawa, check it out.
Check it out and let us know what you think, and let us know if you think it's fine or not fine.
Yeah, let us know, everybody.
Yeah, everybody. Well, thank you for listening.
Yeah, thanks everyone.
If you have any questions, comments, concerns, or critiques, you can email us at
ghoulsocietypod@gmail.com.
You can slide into our DMs at
ghoulsocietypod on Instagram.
You can find Sarah's beautiful TikToks at
ghoul.societypod.
And for all of our shows, resources, and notes and trigger warnings, or descriptions rather, and trigger warnings, you can find them in the show notes. Mm-hmm. And you can find this podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. Mm-hmm.
Leave us a review.
Bye.
Bye.
Ready, Elfagetti?
Ready, Spinanny.
Okay.
Mine is very short.
That's okay.
Too.
Got some shorties up in this house.
Yeah.
Okay.